Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 64, verses 1 through 9. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Hear my voice, O God, and my complaint. Preserve my life from the dread enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the scheming of evildoers, who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless. They shoot suddenly and without fear. They hold fast to their evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly, thinking, who can see us? Who can search out our crimes? We have thought out a cunningly conceived plot, for the human heart and mind are deep. But God will shoot God's arrow at them. They will be wounded suddenly. Because of their tongue, the Lord will bring them to ruin. All who see them will shake with horror. Then everyone will fear. They will tell what God has brought about and ponder what the Lord has done. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Text comes to us from the 13th chapter of Mark's gospel. I'll be reading verses 32 through 37. Listen now for God's word to and for us. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at the cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. For the word in scripture, for the word in creation, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led into your truth and taught your will, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Located on the Kenai Peninsula, you will find the small little town of Hope, Alaska. It's about a four-hour journey by car from Anchorage. And in its heyday, they were the years of the Alaskan gold rush. But today, it has much fewer residents. In the early 70s, when we lived, my family of origin, in Anchorage, my parents bought a little rundown shack in Hope, and we would go there on the weekends and fix it up, and we would also go snowmobiling and skiing. At that time, there were about 50 residents of Hope. Well, sadly, not too many years after we moved back to the lower 48, the town of Hope was destroyed by a flood. When church folk were sent there to see how they might help, they found the devastated town completely deserted. However, someone had placed a sign, a small sign, in the center of what had once been the main street, and the sign read, "The Community of Hope has moved to higher ground." As a community of faith, the season of Advent gives us the opportunity to do the same thing, to move to higher ground, especially with respect to our faith. Today's the first Sunday of Advent, and we begin the journey as we look forward to Christmas Eve and the birth of the Christ child, and as we look forward to, which was alluded to in today's reading, the second coming of Christ. This is the big second coming. We know that Christ comes to us all the time and is ever present in our world, but this is the biggie. We know that there are 4 weeks in Advent until we celebrate the birth of Christ, but we don't know how many weeks or how many years until Jesus will come again. Jesus makes it very clear that he didn't even know himself, saying, "But about the day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Jesus told the disciples that rather than speculating about the end, when the end should be, they were to keep alert. When we keep alert, we move our hope to higher ground. We invest in those things that move us closer to God. In a Peanuts comic strip, little Sally is lying on a beanbag chair watching TV, and Linus is talking to her. He's reading from a book about the true meaning of Christmas. "Listen to this," says Linus. "The census which brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem is said to have been of all the world, but it really was probably only the Roman Empire. And when we read that there was no room in the inn, the more correct translation would be guest room. And look at this, Sally," Linus says. "The name Bethlehem, interestingly, means house of bread. I think these things are so fascinating. What do you think?" And Sally replies, "I think that if I don't get every single thing that I want this year for Christmas, I am going to totally gross out." There are all kinds of distractions that compete for our attention in this season of Advent. We move our hope to higher ground when we choose to be more like-minded, like Linus. When we choose to focus on our faith during the season, we move closer to God. We can find ways of moving closer to God while we're at home, spending more time reading God's word, maybe picking up the devotional that was mentioned earlier in the announcements that's right outside in the narthex or online, maybe by just spending some more time praying and talking to God, and then also listening for God. The PCA has its Presbyterian, through Presbyterians Earth Care, has that devotional I mentioned. And we can find ways to move closer to God also at church. Perhaps make a commitment to be at church each and every Sunday in Advent, either in person or online. Or each Sunday in Advent, participate in the midweek Bible study that talks about the names for the Messiah at 7 o'clock in room 114, in person or by Zoom. And if you missed it last week, Advent starts today. So you could say, if you go to the next three, that you're all good. You participated. You might choose to come in fellowship at the Conti home on the 16th at an open house between the hours of 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Or perhaps you would like to help the youth and Fran provide a gift that she explained about just a little while ago for children in the preschool who might not have such a wonderful Christmas. We can think of Advent like we think of New Year's Eve. It's a brand new year. It's a brand new start. And it gives us the perfect time to rededicate ourselves to growing in our discipleship. Robert Rondale was an environmentalist who built a $250 million company. In 1990, when he was only 60 years old, he was in a car accident and he was killed. His best friend, Mike McGrath, says that he was horrified to learn the day when his friend died, and he said, "What I learned and learned hard is that you can never really be sure that you will ever see anyone again when you say goodbye to them. Anyone who walks out the door might be walking out of your life forever. So pay a compliment. Say something nice that you've been meaning to say. Tell them that they're a good and a talented person, that you value their friendship, admire their ability. Tell them, if they do, that they make you happy. It's a notion, if you follow through on it, that you will never regret." We move to higher ground and our hope to higher ground when we remember to appreciate and out loud those who are dear to us. Advent is the perfect time to draw closer to family and friends. Many people do this by sending Christmas cards or writing a Christmas letter or calling friends that we've lost touch with over the year. Maybe you want to call a friend each week and reconnect. Maybe you want to covenant with someone to be prayer partners just for the season of Advent and see how that goes. Maybe you'll want to extend it throughout the year. These are all ways that we can keep alert during our time of waiting in Advent and move our hope and our faith to higher ground. In today's scripture reading from the book of Isaiah that Kathy read, we read of the anguished outburst of the Israelites who say to God, "Tear open the heavens and come down." The desperation that they expressed was in response to the situation that they found themselves in. The Israelites had just returned to Jerusalem after years of exile, only to find the city, the temple, and their lives in ruins. Their cry could very well have fallen on the lips of Christians that were alive when the gospel writer Mark was writing. Mark's gospel originally addressed the early Christians who were desperate for God to reveal God's self. According to anyone's best guess, this gospel was written 30 years after Christ died. At that time, things weren't looking so good for the Jewish Christians. There had been persecutions by the Roman Emperor Nero. The Apostle Peter had been crucified. War threatened Jerusalem and the temple and had broken out in Judea. While the main purpose of Mark's gospel was to tell the story of Jesus' life and mission of salvation to the world, he had to do more than that. He had to tell it to people who were frightened, who were tired of waiting. Jesus said he was going to be right back, but he wasn't right back. He had to talk to people who were desperate to know whether Jesus' delay was part of the plan or whether Jesus was missing in action. Although Advent for many is a time of joy filled with gatherings like the Madrigal Singers and Christmas party that we enjoyed last night, and decorating that some of us enjoyed more than others at Hanging of the Greens last week, and shopping, for others, it is a season of desperation, of wondering if you're going to have enough money to eat, of wondering if you're going to have enough money to give one present to your child. I'm also thinking about those who are suffering in so many ways in Gaza and in the Ukraine and in all the many war-torn places in the world where there is war and conflict. I'm thinking about those for whom this season is going to be very lonely because they are separated from people that they love for one reason or another. I'm thinking about the millions of refugees in our world today who have been forced to leave their homes. I'm thinking of those who live in the midst of the richest nation on earth who feel like outsiders looking in as they struggle not to fight the shopping crowds at the mall, but to keep a roof over their heads and food on the table. I'm thinking about the 7,000 children of God that live in Pinellas County who are homeless. And I'm thinking about them especially when it gets a little cooler here, like it did last week, but even worse, and they have nowhere to go. As those who follow Christ, our times of waiting are to be filled with action, with doing. Jesus clearly set the agenda for the time when he that remains until he returns about what we're supposed to do. We read about his instructions last Sunday. We are to feed the hungry, befriend the stranger, clothed and naked. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus tells us to preach good news to the poor, to heal the sick, to care for the suffering, and to free those who are oppressed. This church family is a family of God's doers. During the month of Advent, there will be two opportunities to cook for and serve breakfast to the folks, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that reside at Pinellas Hope. There will be one opportunity to cook breakfast for those who are at the Refuge Church on the last Sunday of the month. As a congregation, we are participating in the Joy Offering. It's one of our four denomination-wide offerings, and we're going to be receiving it all this month. And if some trickle into January, that's just fine too. This is an offering where half of the gifts that are given go to assist current and retired church workers and their families who are experiencing financial need. The other half of this offering goes to support students in Presbyterian-related colleges and schools, equipping communities of color. At Trinity, we have the opportunity to feed those who are hungry by restocking the manna box. And you can pick up a Trinity Manna Box Advent calendar for the third time as you walk out today, or they're also on the website. The church, and that's us, is here to proclaim the good news of God's love in word and in what we do, our actions, until God's loving reign is made real throughout God's world. We move our hope to higher ground by caring for each other. It's Advent, the Lord is coming. Prayerfully consider these ways that have been mentioned, or maybe this has sparked some other ideas for you of ways that you will keep alert during this Advent season. May our hope move us to higher ground as we draw closer to God, to one another, to our loved ones, and to those in need. Amen.
People, look east, the time is near of the crowning.
No body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth but ours. Ours are the hands through which Christ touches the world. Ours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion onto the world. And ours are the feet through which Christ travels to do good. Christ has no body on earth now, no hands, no feet on earth, but ours. So go and be Christ's body. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.